Grace and peace to everyone. Amen.
Amen.
A few things to remember. Wednesday we still have Bible study. Online.
Online.
And then Friday we still have prayer online. And after the service, I meet the young people. On Sunday, the 3rd, we do our annual ministry closure. In other words, we shut down ministries. There is no more training. No practice. You know, we just go retia cruziangwa harzama ka cruziangwa.
Raikuta mongwahe.
We want people to rest.
Rabatla horoba to baikute.
So just make sure the ministry functions.
When
even though there are no practices and so on, just make sure the ministry functions. Amen.
Amen.
And then we will reopen in January. Let's continue on our teaching on the covenant, the blood, and the high priest. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Come on, say, Lord, give me understanding. I want to say a lot of things. You are going to read a lot of scriptures. Because I need to explain this. But I teaching on these three subjects, we would have to go until March next year. But I just want to give us enough to be able to know, you know, and strengthen our faith. So far, we have covered the meaning of a covenant. We said a covenant is a solemn, formal, and binding written contract. Or agreement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Between two parties. For the performance of certain actions from both parties. With God, when it comes to God and man, it becomes a will. Yeah, will, a testament. Now, here are three things that are very important for you to remember. Every covenant must be sealed. It must be sealed. It must be confirmed. Some things must be done to secure
it.
Some things must be done to guarantee it. And some things must be done to assure it. Now, these practices, they are there so that those in covenant must know it was not just an empty covenant, it was sealed. Okay?
Amen.
Now, the three things that seal every covenant generally. Number one is the shedding of blood. Okay, there is blood when a covenant is sealed. Number two, there is the making of an oath or making of oaths. Maikano. There are oaths that are made in to seal a covenant. And there is a meal that is shared. A formal meal. Now, if you observe today, we had a meal. Did you see that? What was that meal? It was a what? It was a communion. Why did we take that meal? It was to seal. to remind ourselves that we are in a sealed covenant. In other words, we are in a covenant that is confirmed. It cannot be disannulled. It cannot be cancelled. It is secured. It is guaranteed. And it is assured. So I want to encourage you not only to receive communion here. Don't wait for other people if you feel you want to partake of communion. For instance, as a student, you can partake of communion just before you leave home to go to school. As a worker, you can partake of communion just before you go out to work. You can partake of communion at work with the co-workers you pray with. Jesus told us that there is no number of times that we can say, I've taken communion, now I can't.
Now,
the second thing that is important to remember about covenant. God's covenant with man is based on love. A synonym of that word love is the word mercy. God makes covenant with man because God wants to legally show man love. He wants to show man mercy. He wants to express that mercy through his loyalty and his faithful commitment to the people he loves. Tell your neighbor God will be loyal to you. In street language, we say, Mudimo agaso kawat.
God will not disappoint you.
Okay?
Amen.
God will be loyal to you. God is faithfully committed to those with whom he is in covenant. This is God's obligation in the covenant. And then what is the obligation of man? Two important things we must know God expects of us in covenant. The first one is obedience. The second one is faith. Obedience and faith are man's responsibilities in covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us read the last scripture we read last week. It says, for the law, okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1.
By Hebrews 10, verse 1.
You got it?
Amen.
Let's read it together. Go. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, does what? Which they all continually offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. In other words, the law of Moses does not perfect. The law of Moses could not perfect, otherwise God would never have brought Christ. The law, which is the Old Covenant, or the Old
Testament,
was a shadow It was foretelling the ultimate goal. It was foretelling the ultimate purpose. Don't forget that shadow means a vague reflection or a vague representation. It is a form that does not carry the reality. That is why we talk about the shadow and the substance. So the blood of bulls and goats was just a shadow. Listen, the shadow cannot do what the substance can do. So the system of sacrificing, God was about to change it because it could never bring all the people who were doing those sacrifices, shedding blood, it could never perfect them before God. What is to perfect? It is to accomplish. To fulfill. To finish. How many of you know that your salvation is finished? The only thing is for you to walk in it. What did he say on the cross? It is,
yeah.
Now let's go to our next scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4.
By Hebrews 10 verse 4.
Let's read it. Go. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So, those who are slaughtering today, they are not slaughtering for Jehovah. They are slaughtering for somebody else, not
Jehovah.
The new covenant was shadowed by the old covenant. The main thing about the new covenant is that it was established on better things. I'm going I'm taking it as a Bible study again.
Right. Bible study.
Let's go to the next verse. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6.
By Hebrew 8, verse 6.
It speaks about Jesus. You got Hebrews 8, 6?
By Hebrew 8, 6.
I want you to read it so that you read it to yourself. Let's read it. Go. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, in as much as he is also a mediator now. I told you what a mediator is last week again. A mediator is a go-between. Okay, so Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. That covenant is also a will. So the will that is brought about by the new covenant is better than the will that was brought by the old covenant. The old covenant was based on the law. And the law provided for the blood of animals to be shed so that they could maintain a reconciliation and relationship with God. In other words, blood was continuously shed because people used to sin. Sometimes they would want to give thanks. Sometimes they would want to worship. So they were activating the covenant. So there was a law that was written which they had to follow in order for them to keep their, if the relationship is broken, they would reconcile with God through blood. And if they wanted to appreciate him, they would appreciate him through blood and other offerings. Now in the new covenant is not based on law. The new covenant is based on grace, which was based on the blood of Jesus, which was shed to also bring reconciliation with God and relationship with God. Same way, when we sin, there is blood for to reconcile us back to him. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we read our next verse. Look at John chapter 1 verse 17. Look at it.
John chapter 1 17.
What does it say? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. But the covenant Jesus brought was a covenant of grace and truth. That is why Paul could boldly say, there is therefore now no what? No condemnation to who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Christ Jesus came with what? Grace and truth. Somebody say, I'm listening. John chapter 1:17 talks about the two mediators.
John chapter 1:17 ibuaka batsereganyi ba le babedi.
Moses, the mediator of the old covenant. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You can read it for yourself in the book of Hebrews. I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 2. Amen.
Amen.
To the next scripture. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 4 to verse 6. Read it to yourself. Let's read verse 4. Go. For if he were on earth, hold it. If who was on earth? Jesus. Ne? So we are reading about Jesus. Let's continue. Start from the start. Go. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. The law is the what? The old covenant. Verse 5. Who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern showed you on the mountain. So, look at this before we read verse 6. God wanted even the shadow to be accurate. He said, see to it. That you do it as I showed it to you. Verse 6, let's read it. Go. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant which was established on better promises. Now, right there, I wanted you to see the difference between the two covenants. In summary, now, one thing you must see in this verse,
it
says, if Jesus was on earth, he would not needed to be a priest. Because already there was priesthood. So, it means Jesus is not a priest on earth. He's not an earthly priest. He is a heavenly priest. Why would the covenant not be better if the mediator is heavenly? Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about blood. I want to talk to you a little bit about blood, because blood is one of the seals of the covenant. So let's start in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1. Remember, it's the covenant, the blood, and the high priest. Let's read Leviticus 17, verse 11. Let's read it, go. For the life of the flesh, you got it? Leviticus 17:11. Yeah, okay, let's read it, go. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Hey, Bazalwane.
We can take the entire service on this verse.
Just on this verse. He starts by saying, the life of the flesh, which means the life of the body, is in the blood. And then he says, please show the scripture there, because I want you to see what I'm talking about. He says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And then look, and then he says, and then I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. Meaning, to make atonement for the forgiveness of your sins. I have given you blood. But the blood is the what? Is the life of the... Because he says, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So God is saying, the life of the flesh is the price needed for bringing reconciliation with him. The life of a living being, a living thing. In other words, when you sin and you want to reconcile with me, the price, the payment is life. You must take in the case, let's make it easy. Let's go to the Old Testament. You must take an animal and extract life out of it. And bring that life to me on the altar. Because that life is the price for sin. What does it mean? It also means when you come to the altar holding life, holding blood, what have you left behind? Death. You have left death behind because you have the life. You've taken the life out of that animal. So an animal had to die. It had to give its life. But God again was saying, not just any animal was fit to pay for sin. Not just any animal. Read with me Leviticus chapter 4, verse
23.
What does it say? Let's read it, go.
Or
if his sin, which he has done what? Committed, comes to his knowledge, what must he do? He shall bring as his offering a kid of the goat, a male. What are the two last words? Come on, say it. What are the two last words? Without blemish. In other words, that animal, you had to check among all your animals which one looks good, which you had to examine it, look for defects. When you find the one that has no defect, in other words, he had to be perfect. That's the one you take its life. Why? Because it's not having any blemish represents the principle of innocence. So God was saying an innocent life must lose an innocent animal must lose its life if I'm going to clean your dirty sin. That's what he did in the beginning. He told Adam and Eve,
listen,
if you eat of that tree, what will happen to you? He used the word surely. He said, you will surely die. And when they surely died, they lost his glory. They tried to cover themselves. They failed. And God, in his mercy, had to kill an animal, an innocent animal, and make clothing covering for them so that they can be righteous. In other words, they can be covered. Now, after you kill that animal and you bring its life, the dead one, you take it, you put it on fire on an
altar.
You burn it to ashes. That is how I forgive sin.
You take life,
in order to atone for sin. Now, let's change gears. We're
going
to read from Hebrews chapter
10,
from verse 5 to
10.
I want you to read it to yourself. Get the whole story. Let's start from verse 5. Let's begin to read. go. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. 8. Previously, say, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sins, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. What does he do? He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Before we read verse 10, what is the first? The first is sacrifices, offerings. Again, out. That's the first. He wants to establish the second. What is the second? I have come, a body you have prepared for me, O God. So behold, I have come to what? To do your will. To do your will. Okay, with the word will in our minds, let's read verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the what? Of, once for, you need to get that story. That, he says in verse 5, when Jesus came on earth, you see, all this time, God was accepting the offerings. Because that's all that could happen. But those blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. But when Jesus came to the earth, God's desire for those sacrifices and offerings, gone. What did he do? He prepared a body for him. And because that body, Jesus said, I have come to do your will. And it is by that will, meaning the whole process from entering the body to the end, it brought sanctification. It is by that will he came to do that sanctified us. By that, meaning that body which God prepared for him. At the end of the day, God prepared it to be sacrificed. He prepared it for sacrifice. You really have to be the Son of God for you to live your life knowing that this body in which you are living in it to do His will, and His will is that your body must be sacrificed. No, you will never connect with anything earthly. You will never connect with anything earthly when you know this body, I live in it for 33 years only. And after that, I must be sacrificed. But here's the power. He says, the sacrifice was once for all. So when God rejected all the sacrifices brought by the people, because they could not achieve perfection. Did you hear what I said? God came to a place where he said, the sacrifices that you as people have always known, you know, your sacrifices will not bring the perfection that I desire. Meaning, there is no sacrifice that man could give that would bring the perfection God demanded. And then God said, I will give my own sacrifice. I will prepare a body. And someone, I will send my son to live in that body. When he made a covenant with Abraham, he said to Abraham, bring a calf, divide it into two, put the two pieces one against the other. And that night he walked through the pieces. But this time, it's all a God thing. No human being involved. It's a God thing. That's why the Bible says, for God so the world that he is only begotten, that whosoever should not but have. So the sacrifice this time was given by God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. I want you to see something again. Hebrews 9, 12. Can we read it together? Go. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what? What did he obtain? Meaning that he, when he brought his blood, that was eternal redemption. That price, it went to the past and it went into the future. And it worked right through for eternity. Now I want you to hear something as I start to round up. His blood. Remember, what did God say about the blood? He said the life is in the blood. So, if his body had to be sacrificed, what was supposed to happen? What was supposed to leave his body? His life, am I right? His life, which was his blood. Now here's the big difference. And you know, as When I came to this part of my preparation, I was a bit emotional. Because you get pictures. You get pictures in your head. When God suddenly shows you things and you feel, with animals, they would just slaughter the animal. There was a priest who would be there, and they would slaughter. But with Christ, the extracting of that blood was extremely violent.
Violent.
Not chakets. Violent the gagas tony. Holy violent. Kenya ifela ki strong. It was very violent, Bazalwan. It came through beating by his stripes on his back. It came through insulting. It came through torturing. They put a crown of thorns on his head. It came through crucifying. They nailed him to a cross. And it came through piercing. At the last moment, somebody pierced him on the side. So the whole process was characterized by violence. His body was basically torn. But you know, God reminded me of a verse. Guys, I didn't give you the verse, but can we read that verse, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 5. I want us to see the immense, amazing wisdom of God. Okay, let's read it together. Verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Not 2 Corinthians. Can we read it? That your faith should not be on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Next verse. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, who are coming to nothing. Next one. But however, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your glory. Next verse. Which none of the rulers of this age, for had they known what would, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Last verse. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Listen. I want you to now see the picture. The violence was the wisdom of God. The beating was the wisdom of God. The crucifying was the wisdom of God. The insulting was the wisdom of God. Because the Bible says, if they had known what they were doing, if they had known that they were actually slaughtering the lamb who would bring eternal redemption and the ultimate defeat of the enemy, they would never have touched Jesus. They would never have touched Jesus. Now, let's paint these two scenarios. On the one hand, here are the disciples and Jesus' mother. They are looking. They are seeing how they are flogging him. And how the blood is flowing. How they are clapping him. Spewing on him. And they are calling him names. And how he's struggling to take the cross up to Golgotha. And how still, weak as he was, having lost a lot of blood, they were seeing him being crucified with a huge nail which were going through his body. Remember, the Bible says that when God said, "I am no more impressed with your sacrifices," he said, "A body I prepared for you." That body was being crucified according to the will of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:10, it pleased God to pierce him. And so, historically, it was a very violent, very bad time. It was a very unpleasant time. But when it comes to eternity, the plan was coming together. The plan was coming together. The wisdom of God was unfolding. Now look at this. I'm going to try and close quickly. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 to 20.
Hebrews 9, verse 19 to 20.
You got it? Let's read it. Go. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter, Hebrews 9, verse 19 to 20. Let's read it. Go. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter. Oh, I don't have my Bible here. Please check where it is. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 20. Okay, give me Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 20. Is that the one? Let's read it. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the what? Which is? Come on. Through the? Which is? Now, look at this, Bazalwa. It means when God said to Moses, "Moses, you better build it the way I want it done." And between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, I want you to put a curtain, a beautiful curtain, a decorated curtain. Moses, I'm not sure he was aware that when he put that curtain, that veil, he was actually putting a representation of the flesh and the body of Christ. Such that, remember, the high priest could only come once a year with sacrifices, with blood. Blood for himself and for the people. Even the high priest did not know that this veil will remain until the body is torn. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was signifying Therefore, as long as that altar stood the way it was, the way to the Holy of Holies was not made accessible. That is why, after they tore his body and extracted the life and took the life from the sacrifice, and the sacrifice gave up the ghost, and he said, "It is finished." What happened in the temple? In the temple, the veil was torn from top to bottom to say the life has been extracted. The blood that pays for sin eternally is there. The life is there. So all we were waiting for is for now for us to hear about the high priest.
Oh!
Now we must hear about the high priest. How did the high priest do it? How did he take that blood? With my name on it, I don't know your name. Oh. My name was there.
Hallelujah.
Because the veil was torn. Why was the veil torn? The veil was torn because the body was torn. And when the veil was torn, I read my last verse. So, when Jesus was torn, Jesus was the substance. The veil was torn. The veil was the symbol. My last verse, Matthew chapter 27.
Matthew 27,
verse 50 to 51.
50-51.
It says, let's read it together. Go. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Verse 51. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I see it now. Come on, somebody say, I see it now. You gotta see your salvation. You gotta see how it came to pass. And the next time we come, we're gonna talk about the high priest. We're going to make comparisons of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We will compare the priest of the tabernacle of Moses and the priest of the tabernacle of God. But that is it for today. We finish here today.